We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
No, I don't. Not yet. I want to put a laser on my new Security 9 because it actually has a built-in Piccaninny, the rail on the bottom that makes it compatible with a large majority. Yes, I want to put a laser on my pistol. I just haven't yet. I've been looking around. We're off into hour number two. It is Toward Anarchy. Go to towardanarchy.com. If you're live with us, it's right there on the front page, June 28th. If not, click in the archive, and you will find that my guest is Bradley Thomas. And we're talking about his website, erasethestate.com, and his work writing as a libertarian and an anarchist and voluntarist, all those magical words that we love to hear. I shared the website there for you so you can visit the Erase the State website. And I also shared the piece that brought Bradley to my attention, which was this piece, If I Were a Racist. Bradley, if you were a racist, what would you do to try and keep the people of color down?
Yeah, well, it's quite a teaser, the title to the article, isn't it?
I love it. I love it. And the fact that you used proper English was enough to make me read it.
Well, there you go. Thank you. But, so the argument really I make is that the government has really been the biggest enemy of minorities there is. And when we focus too much on white versus black and focus on that aspect of racism, it really is a way to make us overlook the statism. So I kind of lay out in the article and use a handful of different policies and examples that if I were a racist and I wanted to see minorities and black folks, kept down and suffering and denied opportunity, I would be a big fan of a lot of these statist interventions and policies that are favored by the left and progressives. So I think this article was kind of my way of pointing that out and throwing the argument back on the progressive left people who are always pointing the fingers at the other side of the aisle, saying, hey, well, wait a minute, look at all these policies that you guys have been favoring for decades. They have done all untold amounts of damage to the black community, and just trying to force them to reckon with that.
It's interesting because I have conversations with people on the right. It just happened yesterday. I met an individual, speaking of guns. I was selling some .380 ammunition to a guy because I recently sold off my Bursa. And I've carried it for like 12 years, and I've just got this new pistol that I was talking about as it came back from the break that has a Piccaninny rail on it that I can actually just attach a lot of stuff to. But I met this gentleman, and he's a right-wing statist, works for the state, delivering people in prisons, to and from prisons. And we end up having these conversations, and they talk about what the left spends the money. They take the money and they spend it on welfare. And I challenge them. I said, well, do they really? Because both sides obviously take the money and they say they're helping the poor, but the poor aren't getting any better. So are they, is the left, are they just taking it and giving it to lazy people? I don't think so. I think they're taking it and giving it to the laziest of people themselves.
Yeah, yeah, and the welfare state is such a big has such a big impact on minorities, in particular in this country. And that's one of the first things that I address in my article. And obviously, LBJ's Great Society in the 60s was just this behemoth that ratcheted up the welfare state significantly. And I look at what the results have been since then. And one thing that I found really stunning is that the rate of unmarried births in the black community since that those programs started has tripled. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at the data of just how devastating single-parent household is with regards to poverty, I found that single-mother households are five times as likely to be in poverty compared to households with both parents. So we've gotten to a time when more than 70% of all black children are born to an unmarried mother. So, you know, if I was a Klan member, I couldn't have come up with a better plan to really devastate the black community financially. So what happens, of course, is that we find welfare checks replacing fathers in the home, in particular in the black community. It's been getting worse in all races, but especially acutely in the black community. So that's a particular issue and problem that I think needs to be discussed more. It's this cycle of dependency that just perpetuates itself generation after generation, because a lot of times, you know, not only is it replacing the father in the home with a government welfare check, there's also these poverty traps that get set up. So what happens is you have, say, a single mother who's enrolled in these programs, who's getting food stamps, who's getting has their children herself perhaps on Medicaid, subsidized child care. So now she's in this kind of this trap where if she chooses to take a job, she risks losing all these benefits that are very financially rewarding, and she could end up making herself financially worse off if she enters the workforce. So that kind of puts her in this trap, especially in these short-term decisions. And, you know, I'm not blaming the people here. These are rational decisions they're making for their own financial well-being, where if they remain on these government programs, they're going to be financially better off and more stable than if they entered the workforce. So it creates these completely perverse incentives for these people and traps them in poverty. And that's very concerning. So it not only drives out the oftentimes drives out fathers from the home, which has devastating effects, but then also traps people in poverty, which can help make this more cyclical in nature.
And that's the problem when it becomes cyclical like that. The politicians love that because it's very Hegelian dialectic. You know, it's problem, reaction, solution. They know what the problem is. They know exactly how people are going to react, and they've already planned a solution. And that's more tax money that they live off of and that they trickle down to these individuals that they have made poor, systemically made them poor through the system, and by encouraging them to do exactly what you're talking about. But you know, it's an attitude amongst particularly blacks, a black woman, and the attitude that I don't need no man tell me what to do. I apologize. Jesus, I am such a racist piece of crap. But you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, and it's particularly insidious because the politicians know this. That they know that dependent people are far easier to control.
Absolutely.
So you create the dependency, and then what do we hear every election cycle? We hear threats of, well, vote for me or the other guy is going to take away your benefits that you rely on. And so we see this time and time again during election cycles, and it just perpetuates itself again, year after year, time after time. And it's really heartbreaking, actually. After a while, you see people that become so dependent, and they start to lose their self-esteem, they start to lose their sense of purpose, and it starts to instill a sense of hopelessness in many as well, and that can lead to other societal problems as well. So it's really an insidious cycle, and it's really you know, these politicians should that exploit this should really be ashamed of themselves.
It's really sad because it's always been one of those things that made me certain that it's done on purpose. Just the fact that you and I, Bradley Thomas and Michael Storm, here on Republic Broadcasting Network, talking to thousands of people, yeah, but we're not Harvard educated, we're not lawyers, we're not these great speakers and orators. Yeah, maybe we are a little bit, some of us. but the reality is that these other people pretend to be these things that really they clearly are not, and they must do it for a reason, because you and I are sitting here saying this is the problem. Here's the history of it. Here's the math of it over the long term. I mean, we haven't explained it all right here today, but the body of work that I mention when I talk about you on the webpage there that we share with everybody, you know, there's a body of work there that speaks for itself, and you're just this guy in 2020. I mean, it's not like people haven't been talking about these things for a long time, exposing where these weaknesses are, why it is that somebody would choose to use democracy and dictation over free choice and individualism.
Yeah, and the irony of it is that when folks do speak out and are critical of the welfare state, and wanting to scale it back, they're the ones being accused of racism, right? But the people supporting the welfare state that has been so devastating for the black families and black communities, they're propped up as these champions of social justice, and it's really really frustrating. And another way to look at this, just the overall impact of these programs is, an old adage goes that the more you tax something, the less of that activity you'll get. The more you subsidize something, the more of that you'll get. So we are taxing productive activity to pay for people not working, to subsidize that, to subsidize unemployment. So what do you think that the overall impact of that's going to be? You're going to have less people engaged in productive activity and more people not working. How do you think that impacts the society's economy, society's ability to produce a greater abundance of goods and services? Of course, it has a great dampening effect on the productive nature of the economy. And when the economy stagnates, who gets harmed the most? Of course, it's those low-income households that are hurt the most. And then again, it's cyclical. people are caught in this poverty trap that's made worse by the welfare state, and it just repeats generation after generation.
It just keeps going over and over again, and there's no stop to it. And then people wonder why you sit around and you talk about conspiracy theories, and why there are people who are anti-government, why they would be so incredulous as to suggest that they shouldn't be robbed. Whether it's at the polls or any place else, whether it's at the grocery store or on the street by a cop pulling you over for a ticket, to fund this corrupt government that just, oh my. Well, right now we're seeing such a perfect example of it. It should be so glaringly obvious because I keep seeing everybody mention it. And that's what's happening now with the COVID-19 and the shutdown, and the fact that the government threw money at it instead of trying to really fix it. And everybody, I've heard it from everybody. It's not one of these things where you see it on the social media and it happened to the other guy. I've heard this from everybody that's filed. I am getting more money now. I will not go back to work. It's happened to my daughter at work and half of the employees that work there, all of them there. She works in a deli, so they got shut down. The restaurants were some of the hardest hit. And so the employees, they all went on assistance. Supposedly it's their money, but then all of a sudden on top of that, you know, when they're out of work, they're supposed to get money back that they put into the system. Supposedly, it's supposed to work that way. But then on top of that, we had, you know, the trillions that the government decided to hand out in welfare payments, Debbie, and buy-off payments.
Yeah, yeah, and that's going to be really concerning, too, especially you start talking about that extra $600 a week from the federal government, and you tack that on to, you know, the state unemployment benefits kind of range, but are in ballpark on aggregate about $300 to $350 a week. You start talking some significant money. Imagine if you have a husband and wife, two incomes, they're both laid off, and they're getting close to $1,000 a week each.
Oh man!
I mean, do the math. That's six figures for doing nothing. That's going to present some significant obstacles to getting the economy going again. Well, again, when people are faced with these perverse incentives, I can make a lot more money staying at home doing nothing, or I can go back, work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and make myself financially worse off. Again, it's these choices, and people are making rational choices in their own best interest.
Sure.
It's the system that deserves to be blamed for this, for putting people in those situations and being confronted with these perverse incentives.
Well, it's sad because we see that as people are given more freedom, they actually learn and grow. Yes, yeah, some people make mistakes. They spend their money poorly. They end up having children they shouldn't. They end up being in a job that maybe wasn't as good as they could have had if they'd made some better choices. People do make bad decisions. People do things wrong all the time. But the general curve in a free society is that everybody is improving. It gets better and better with generation and after generation. And so take that government layer off of that, and you stop seeing a bell curve, you start seeing growth. You know, you throw that government layer back on it, and it starts being that bell curve again, where as soon as it starts to see, the government starts to see any place that it can siphon off money or where it can gain control, which ultimately is about getting more money, more power, more position, it latches onto it, jumps right onto it.
Yeah, absolutely right. So true. And it kind of calls to mind, I'm going to paraphrase one thing that struck me in Hazlitt's book, as he talked about free market economies would produce a lot more wealth and a lot less poverty, so yeah, there'd be fewer poor people and a lot more resources to take care of them with. You know, contrast that with the big, giant welfare state, bloated welfare state. It's generated more poverty and less wealth to take care of them. You know, definitely going in the wrong direction, obviously, when government intervenes and perpetuates this cycle.
Well, it has this amazing way of covering its backside, too, doesn't it? Aren't they really good at covering up what they do? Because people, especially as a group, have a real short-term memory for political mistakes and the things that they do. So they're really good. They really don't even have to do much more than just turn their back on a topic, especially an economic one, and actually just let it resolve itself. And by them not doing anything, it still makes them look good. No matter how, they always seem to come out on top.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they tend to also exploit status quo bias and recency bias. So
we've got a couple
of generations of people who have grown up with the welfare state, and that's just the norm for people. Mm. So that's just the expectations. Oh, I'm hitting some financial hard times. What's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to go to the government office. I lost my job. What's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to go to the unemployment office. It's always turning to the government rather than turning to family, friends, neighbors, community, local churches, other social volunteer support groups. You know, there used to be, before the welfare state, and there's a lot of literature about this, our mutual aid societies that were really effective voluntary means of helping out those in need. They're more localized. So when you're, you know, when it's your neighbors or people in your community that hit rough financial times, you're most familiar with their situation. You could say, hey, I know they're a good person. they just got fired for no good reason or what have you, for no fault of their own. You know, let's all chip in and help pay
Let's chip in and help them out.
What have you.
Absolutely. We got to go into a break here. Okay. Hold that thought. We got to go into a break. We'll be right back on Toward Anarchy.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Unfortunately, the time ticks away as it always does. We're coming down to the last few minutes with my guest, Bradley Thomas. Been a fantastic conversation. If you go to towardanarchy.com, June 28th is the day you're looking for. Erasethestate.com, that's his website. A link is there as well as to the article, If I Were a Racist. You can read exactly what it is we were talking about there. And, man, it's been great talking to you. Unfortunately, we're running out of time here, as we always do. Was there any last thought that you had, anything that we didn't get a chance to talk about that maybe you had thought that you wanted to mention?
Well, yeah, we'll just maybe even finishing up the thought we were having before the break.
Yeah, absolutely, of course.
Yeah, more localized voluntary charity versus a big bloated welfare state. You know, obviously the voluntary charity is going to be much lead to much more greater social cohesion. People are voluntarily giving and donating to people they know and they're familiar with. And so they're, you know, enables you to feel good about yourself helping out someone you know. The people who are receiving the aid are going to be much more grateful for that aid versus you look at this compulsory, bloated government bureaucracy. People are going to be more likely, because of this faceless and so big, more likely to try to scam the system. They're going to start to get a sense of entitlement. And then the people funding it, because it is compulsory and not voluntary, they're going to start to have a little bit of a resentment when they're being forced into pay to this system that's so big and bloated and possibly doing more harm than good and being scammed and seeing all this fraudulent payments being put out there. So just in terms of just social harmony and peaceful relations between people, there's such a stark contrast between that localized voluntary charity versus the big, bloated, compulsory welfare state.
And it really comes down to size, doesn't it? It's not really strictly a failure of democracy. It's not really strictly a failure of a particular version of economics so much as it is the fact that we're all forced to live with the results of what these people have done and what they do, not realizing, I think a lot of times, not realizing what it was that they've done.
You're listening okay. to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I don't know what happened. There we go. Okay. Something going on there. The computer is going wacky. All right. Well, I'll talk through if you want to turn the whole thing down or I'll shut up either way. But Bradley, I really appreciate you taking the time. I'd love to have you on again sometime if you have the chance. So please be sure to keep in touch and, keep doing what you do, because I love what I've seen from you. I'd love to talk to you sometime about what you do on the technology side. How much of your website, erasethestate.com, do you control? Do you code it raw, or are you using like a WordPress plugin?
Oh yeah, just a basic WordPress plugin. Yeah, okay. I'm definitely not technologically advanced.
No,
I'm letting the experts do all, you know, the WordPress do all the work on that.
Okay, yeah, I just wonder. I always wonder because everybody has just their thing, and everybody just has a different way of doing things and getting things to happen. And so I'm always curious about how people accomplish a successful goal, and how long has the Race to State been up?
It's going on 2 years now. So
2 years.
Yeah, a lot, that's enabled me to produce a lot of content on there.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'd encourage folks to go check it out. Everything from Austrian economics to, just the freedom philosophy, identity politics, Marxism, all it just runs the gamut.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And it's a wonderful, it's funny because I said, I didn't know you personally, of course, but I knew erasethestate.com and some of the content that I've seen over there from the last couple of years. And that's what, it's great because there's all these resources out there and we just don't even know where to begin to find them. You have to get past all of these gatekeepers. This is one of the reasons that I do the show, is to talk to people about the technology side of it and to try to expose some of the things that that they don't see going on websites and stuff like that, search engines and things like that. And so it's great to I'm always wanting to talk to people about how they are successful in getting people to come to a website and something like that, getting past the gatekeepers like Google. I noticed that if you type in "erase the state" in a search engine, you come up, and that's not always necessarily easy to do.
Yeah. Well, I did kind of test the name out before I landed on that domain name, and it was a little bit of a takeoff on at the time. There was an "erase the hate" and the social justice warrior campaign going on. So it was a little bit of a poke at that at the time as well. But it's been a lot of fun, and it's definitely a labor of love. putting out their ideas that I'm passionate about, and really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today about it.
Thank you, and keep doing what you do, brother. You take care, Bradley. We'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created for love.
That's the reason we do this. This is what I'm telling you. This is why you want to do these kind of things for today. The days like today, with even amongst the sort of technical couple little thingies there, which I brought on myself by my last email to Bradley last night before the show, was something to the effect of barring, you know, we're all set to go, barring any problems, which we never have. You know, shoot yourself in the foot. Brought it on myself. But it's fantastic to have such a great conversation in the midst of all of this controversy that's going on surrounding the racism and the Black Lives Matter movement and all these different experiments in supposed self-government that are trying to spontaneously exist. It's all very, very fun to watch. It's a study in humans. But it's scary to think about what they will bring about. Because if you look at, and I know you do, that's why I bring it up. If you look at your conspiracy theory, your conspiracy fact, whatever you want to call it, I'm not that guy. I know what a conspiracy theory is. I know what conspiracy truth is. If you follow your stories, you believe these things, then you understand that there's some control, there's some manipulation. There has been for a real, real long time at the center of the power structures of the entire world. Control of money and land that happens to contain lots of oil or diamonds or magnets, something people can use, something that, you know, there's nothing new about what's happening with the protesters on the street. There's nothing new about what they're asking for. They don't even know what they're asking for. I think if you were to ask them, if you were to just go out there with a microphone, it's not even a thing. I know if you were to go out there with a microphone, because I've done this before. I've been there. It wasn't this time, so what? It was a better time. And it started out much better than this. It started out much more directed and much more level-headed and with a greater sense of purpose than this ever did. So I know, and even then, you could go and you would still ask individual people, and there were thousands on the street. You could ask them why they were there, and they will all have a generally different reason. Someone would be there to fight the banks. Some would be there for the homeless. Some would be there for some form of social justice on the left, and some would be there for rights, protected conservative values. And but I don't think you find many of any of those on the. I mean, they're there, but they're going to be in the smaller percentage, because I don't think that too many people like myself, like you, feel particularly welcome there. I've said that before. I don't think we feel welcome there. I certainly don't. I barely felt welcome back at the Occupy when that was going on. I barely felt welcome there, because all these are, when you're talking about things like this, it's collectivist. I mean, by nature, it's collectivist. And they prove it in their chanting and their movement and the fact that when one of them starts something, they'll all sort of follow after. It's very collectivist. So I'm never comfortable with it anyway. I realize the futility of it. And that's why my participation in such events has been early on, when there was a direction. And as soon as there became no direction, I was nothing more than an observer after that point. And then it walked away. And then, of course, that leads to today, where I won't even go. You won't even get me out there on the street to protest. What's the point? Who am I protesting? What am I protesting for? Why am I protesting? Well, you ask the other guy. I hate it. It's very... Yeah, it's sad. Producer Ken's mentioning the chanting that they do. It's very cult-like, and it's very childish. It's very cult-like. It's very single-minded. It's very childish. It lacks the individual approach. It lacks any sense of subtlety. So, it's going to be disregarded by anyone who thinks that they're intellectually above it, whether they feel invited or not. Borg-like. That's right. They are the Borg. You thought the zombie apocalypse was going to look a little bit different, didn't you? Some of that you weren't paying attention. You actually thought it would be COVID turning people into zombies, literally. Like, but you missed the fact that they were already zombies. They've been zombies for a long, long time. Just look at them going to work. Look at how completely oblivious they are to anything around them that is autonomous. If it's not in sort of robotic motion and moving forward, they're confused. They're like a deer in headlights. They're just sort of looking around confused. What do I do? What do I do? I don't even know what to do with myself. I have options. You mean I have choices? I have freedom? It's my responsibility. No wonder people don't want anarchy. It's why would they? They have to be responsible for themselves. They have to do for themselves all of the things that they've been told for decades now. Ah, government's got this, man. We got your back. We got you, bro. We're taking care of you. That's right. We're going to feed you. And we're going to tuck you in at night. I don't know what all they promised. They promised everything. They promised the moon. And some people aren't even convinced that they gave us that. So I just don't know what to do other than to say, sod it all, as the English would, and get on with life. Truly, get on with life. Have your zombie sword ready. Oh, I have one. The gentleman that I was mentioning earlier that I sold some ammunition to, fantastic. Maybe, I don't know, I don't suppose he would be offended. I'm not going to share his name or anything. I could share some of the pictures next week, or I could even try to throw them up while I'm sitting here. But he sent me pictures because we were talking about ammunition and other weapons and things like that. And I like martial weapons. I'm definitely a martial weapons kind of guy. I've told you how I can use nunchucks. I can use butterfly knives in both hands simultaneously. But, you know, fancy, not just drop open, actually flipping them and spinning them and all that fancy stuff. Nunchucks, I would beat the hell out of you with a pair of them. It's not that fancy, goofy, flipping stuff. It's strikes. It's about strikes. It's about knowing your target and being able to hit it. Have you ever seen Bruce Lee do the like light matches with nunchucks? I'm going to do that. I think my strikes are good enough that I think I, with a couple of practice swings and give it a couple of shots, I could do the light the match with my nunchucks. It's about striking. It's about knowing where that other piece of loose wood is, not the one that's in your hand. You know where that one is. It's about controlling the other end of it and successfully using it to strike. And after you strike, then you can come in and you can use it to armbar, grapple with them, throat. Go around the throat if you're trying to kill. But he shared these wonderful pictures with me. He's got a couple of comments and very nice. He's talking about how they're vintage. He's into the Bally Song vintage bladed weapons as well as vintage nunchucks. And of course, I have several pair. I have a steel pair. I have a 3-piece bar. But my favorite pair is the vintage sort of 60s, 70s, and people, you'll know if you're into these weapons, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. They're made out of oak. They're held together by a nice big chain. They're not this sorry, cheap crap that you get today. But he's showing me these pictures. He sent me these pictures. He has, half a dozen different types of chucks and different extendable rods and chains. And then one of the things was all these boomerangs. I think these were neat. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different boomerangs in his collection. Some of them look modern, but a couple of them look vintage, older, might be, maybe more traditional as opposed to something more modern that's built entirely with science behind it, dynamics. And then some of the other pictures was butterfly knives, the Bally saw. Let's see, 1860s, British India, Rajasthan, India, goat brand Bally songs made in India. That's just awesome. It's just really cool. And, you know, Bally Singh, China knocked them off. But the Bally Singh was really good. The Bally Singh butterfly knives were amazing. You can get your hands on those. Those are Chinese made. They aren't Indian made like the Bally songs. But they're still amazing, really high quality. He has dozens and dozens of different butterfly knives. That's a heaven for me just to play with them. Yeah, that's cool. I really enjoyed seeing all that stuff. He just sent it to me in pictures. I didn't go to his house. I just met him in the parking lot and sold him some ammo. So there's your gun control, suckers. I sold a guy's shotgun not too long ago. I bought my 9 notch. Hey, there's gun show loopholes and gun law. You people are out of your mind. You walk out on any street corner and go, excuse me, I'd like to buy a gun, and somebody will sell you a gun. This is silly, trying to disarm honest people, so-called honest citizens. TowardAnarchy.com, June 28th is the date. I share some things as always. Anarchism is not only a stateless society, but a harmonized society that exposes man to the stimuli provided by both agrarian and urban life, to physical activity and mental activity, to unrepressed sensuality and self-directed spirituality, to communal solidarity and individual development, to regional uniqueness and worldwide brotherhood, to spontaneity and self-discipline, to the elimination of toil and the promotion of craftsmanship. And that's Murray Bookchin. And as always, retweet, blah, 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 not an endorsement, blah, blah, blah. Click on the link if you want to know about the guy. Just another interesting individual. If you find some interesting ideas, you find out where they come from, find out if there's some validity to the individual that's behind the idea, and then you invite them to come on your show and tell them about the article they wrote. That's what you do. The picture of the day was fantastic. I had to make a point to say this because I actually did this. I had another picture in mind. So I'll even tell you the picture I had in mind. It was a Statue of Liberty picking out from behind her base saying, "Am I next?" And you already know what I mean, right? So I removed the post. Because we could have that conversation. I'm not behind it. I don't care about the statues. I found a way out for some of the right-wing, we'll say, individuals of particular taste. I found a way out for you. We don't need statues of those traitors lining the country. We didn't fight a war just to have their crappy generals be venerated by statues. So there's your out, right-wing individuals who need an out in that argument if you just want to get out and just call yourself good. No, this post has been removed because it might cause a fence, and it's a picture of a post hole, a recently dug post hole. Might cause a fence. It's a pun. It was just perfect because I actually removed a post to put it up there because I just wasn't happy with the statue thing, because I really am not. I really don't care about the statue thing. I don't. This veneration of statists, I just don't care. I don't care what flavor the statist is. I don't care if he was from the North. I don't care if he was from the South. I don't care if he was a slave owner. I don't care if he was a slave. I don't care about venerating status. I want to venerate ideas and things that work, especially if those things will get us away from tying them to the ridiculous notion that the individual who came up with them in the first place must be perfect. This idea that people have to be perfect is sad because it leaves no, I think I said this last week, right? It leaves no room for good. It leaves no room for better or improvement, or even just good enough. You know, perfect sucks. Perfect is a ridiculous thing that doesn't even exist. Last week I was watching Idiocracy, and the Brondo Corporation went bankrupt, and everybody was coming to Lynch, not sure. And so I have a movie on again, as always, and I wanted to mention this one as we're going into the break here in the last few minutes of the show, because it's a movie that I actually just want to recommend that you may never have seen before. because Idiocracy was sitting right next to it. And it's called Strange Days. It's Ralph Fiennes. It's Angela Bassett. Early Juliette Lewis. 1995. Amazing movie. Before The Matrix. Very much Matrix future kind of plugging into computers and experiencing a different reality. Way before its time. I remember watching it in 1995 when it first came out, and just thinking it was just one of the greatest movies. It's very simple. There's no real great roles or anything like that in it necessarily. They're all good actors. If you know Angela Bassett, she's been in lots of stuff. And of course, Juliette Lewis, maybe you don't know Ralph Fiennes. He hasn't been in maybe some of the bigger hits that some of these other guys have been in there, but there's other people in there as well. It's in that same crew running around that you'd find the likes of Juliette Lewis, Tom Sizemore, Michael Wincott, Vincent D'Onofrio. They're all a little bit of a crew from back in the day. Strange Days is what it's called. I highly recommend it, and I'm not that guy that's like, you gotta see this movie, but you should see the movie. We'll be right back to wrap it up on Toward Anarchy.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%, no joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I see a red door and I want it in this summer clothes. I have to turn my head until my darkness goes.
All right, TowardAnarchy.com, June 28th. That's what we've been doing. Bradley Thomas was a guest, a fantastic conversation. Make sure that you like these things when you see them across the social media. You share them. You share these links. It's the only way this works out. Again, I really don't have any time. There's only like 2 minutes before this thing starts playing that outro and then 2 minutes of music. So I'm taking calls. I appreciate it, Tom, David, everybody all of a sudden called. I don't know what the hell I said that brought on the calls. Maybe check next week if it's, I don't know. I just hate to try to get into a conversation with only just a couple of seconds left because it always happens. And I never finish with saying what I want to say. And nobody ever gets in they never get to finish. It's always a rush. It's like, oh, here comes that music. Oh, we're gonna wrap it up. No, hold that thought. We'll be back from the, well, there's no break to be back from this time, guys. It's the end of the show. I apologize. I appreciate you listening though and calling in. Send me an email. Go to towardanarchy.com, click on the contact page, send me an email. Tell me what it was you wanted to talk about. Maybe I can share some links or find something, bring it up. And at any rate, I appreciate it, as always, hanging out. Check out towardanarchy.com, June 28th. Share the links up there. Share the website. Make sure that my oldest daughter, daughter from another mother, not my wife, my wild, impetuous youth, product of it. she's listening and was trying to figure out. She wasn't able to get one of the apps to work. So I have to, that happens every once in a while. We run into some things to figure out how to help people listen. One of the biggest things I've found is people trying to listen through Safari like an MP3 or a stream over Safari, and for some reason it's just not the most stable of places to do it. I don't recommend it. I recommend trying to find another way to do it. Get one of the apps. There's so many different ways to listen. And of course you can always tell for the archive, that's easy. That's all you have to do is tell your digital assistant, your phone, your listening device, whatever one of those things that you have, if you have one of those Echoes or something like that, those boxes that you can talk to, just tell it to play Toward Anarchy Podcast and it'll kick it on for you. It'll play the latest episode right off the stream for you. It won't bring you to the live one. That one, the easiest thing to do, towardanarchy.com. It's the very first button up on the top. It says listen. And just click on that bad boy right there. And if the show is live, you can click on that button there to listen, and it'll take you to the TalkStream Live page. And that's we encourage you to listen through there because it shows us a metric in how we compete with some of the big boys out there, if you would. We actually, RBN is an amazing network, and I'm so lucky to be on it and so lucky to be having this show compete with the likes. Hey, I know there's a drop off, let's face it, but competing with the likes of Alex Jones and other people out there that are trying to bring truth to each other. RBN is a powerhouse, baby, and I'm proud to be here. Toward Anarchy will be back next week, and I guess that means I will too. So we'll see you then.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.